Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Over the last 5 weeks during this Lenten season on the midweek services, we've spent much time looking at the Lord's Supper. What the Lord's Supper is, Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine. Who the Lord's Supper is for, those who believe in Christ's words and are repentant of sin. When you should have the Lord's Supper, as often as you possibly can. Where you can have the Lord's Supper, from the pastor in the gathering of believers. And why you need the Lord's Supper, because you are sinners who need that forgiveness that it brings. Maundy Thursday, in a way, is both the starting point and the pinnacle of studying the Lord's Supper. It is on this night that the Lord instituted this most holy supper. This is where it began. This is where you hear the words of Jesus, his words of promise. And these are the words that you hear each and every week before receiving and partaking in that holy supper. And these words, recorded in Luke's gospel, go on to further explain that first question that we asked about the Lord's Supper. What is it? Luke gives us these words that the Lord's Supper is a new covenant. But what is a covenant in the first place? A covenant, quite simply, is an agreement between two parties. Each party is responsible for a share in this agreement. And if one side breaks their part of the covenant, then it is broken. And any promises made are null and void, not to be held by the other. When looking at Scripture all throughout history, there are generally two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In fact, this is the major separation point in your modern Bibles. The Old and New Testament, or covenant, same words, just different translations. And so, this Old Covenant, what is the Old Covenant? Who are the parties involved? Well, the two parties involved in this Old Covenant are God and Israel. The idea of this covenant is that God had given laws to the Israelites that they were to follow. And if they followed, and as long as they followed those laws, then God would bless them and prosper them among the nations. But what happens over and over is that Israel breaks their side of the covenant. They fall into sin, and then the covenant is broken. God punishes them for their sins, yet in his great mercy, he continues to be with them and provide for them, even though they have broken this covenant time and time again. But what about this new covenant that Christ speaks of? Who are the parties involved in this new covenant? Well, the two parties are God and the new Israel, all people who share in the faith of Abraham, faith in the coming Christ. But why do they need this new covenant? Why do we need this new covenant? Isn't the old one just fine? Well, we need a new covenant because humanity broke that old covenant over and over again. That old covenant, when left to our own actions, left no hope for salvation. Man would always fall into sin. And therefore, the true blessings, a lasting blessing, would always be out of reach. But there is one big difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And that difference is who is the one responsible for keeping the covenant. In the old covenant, it was split between God and the people of Israel. Both had to keep their part. But in this new covenant, God is the only one required to keep the covenant. Why is this the case? Doesn't this break the rules of a covenant to begin with? Well, this happens because God is responsible for both sides of this new covenant. God is the one who provides the blessings, just like he did all throughout the Old Testament. And in that Lord's Supper, you receive those great blessings from the Lord. That Holy Supper gives you the forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, the strengthening of your faith. Just as God had blessed the people of old, he continues to lavish you and all of his people with the great blessings of the Lord's Supper. But God is also the one who works to keep the other end of the covenant, your end of the covenant as well. This is the work of Jesus for mankind on the cross. This is my body, which is given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. That very next day, tomorrow, Good Friday, Jesus will suffer and die on the cross. Having followed the law perfectly for mankind, he will then pay the price for man's sins. He will be betrayed by his own follower, abandoned and denied by his closest disciples, beaten and mocked, and ultimately put to death. Yet this is the work that the covenant required. The punishment for sin is death. And Jesus paid that price for you by his own crucifixion. And so because of Jesus' death, the requirements of the covenant are fulfilled. God has done the work for you, and now he will grant you and bestow upon you those promised blessings. Christ's body and blood given and shed for you are your blessings. By his death, you are given life in this sacrament. By his work, you are given eternal blessings from himself. This is the new covenant, the work of Christ for you, for your blessing. It is not your work, your sacrifice, your remembrance of him. It is the work of Christ, his sacrifice, his remembrance of you. By his work, this new covenant is fulfilled. And you, in turn, receive the blessings of that new covenant every time you partake in the Holy Supper of Christ. And it is because of Christ's work alone. This covenant is now unbreakable. No one can take this covenant away from you. As long as God provides, it will be given to you. Christ's body and blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. They are yours, and yours forever. Therefore, this evening, come and receive that great blessing of this new covenant, won for you by Christ's death, of which we remember tomorrow. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.